Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program, Searching the Scriptures, that begins at 8 to 8:30 on public access channel number 6 on your television. Please give it a look and let us know what you think. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrodsburg.com. You'll find all these radio program and MP3 files. You'll also find the TV programs under the Special Studies tab, and it will say Bible videos. Please give it a look. We also want to invite you to our services at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, and we will do that at the end of this broadcast. I want you to know that you're always cordially invited to our periods of Bible study and worship. We would love to see you. Our only desire is to show you your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. If we can help you in any way to have achieve those two things, please do not hesitate to call upon us. We have begun studying the book of 1 Peter, and this morning we're going to begin a new study in the book that begins in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through verse 21. So we want to read these verses as we begin, and then we're going to make some application. We begin reading in verse number 13. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Because it is written, Be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's works, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct, received by the traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, and was manifest in these last times for you. And through him, believing God, who raised him from the dead, and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. Now notice, in our lesson this morning, we want to talk about being holy. This is a prominent subject in the Bible. All forms of the Greek word for holiness are used more than 275 times in our New Testament, clearly indicating the importance of this according to God. The comparison, this is comparable to the use of the word disciple, the principal word Jesus used to denote his followers and his total commitment to his demands and his laws. The implication of both these terms are basic and far-reaching in revealing the way of life of God designed from eternity for his people. This is serious. We want to discuss a summary of holiness. It's serious business for the kingdom of God and for those who want to occupy it. And we hope this study, along with us, to get us to understand the meaning, the application, and the special context in which Peter uses this term. The quotation is, Be ye holy, for I am holy, are the words of Jehovah himself, quoted by Peter from the book of Leviticus, in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, chapter 19, and verse 2, chapter 20 and verse 7, and chapter 20, verses 22 through 26. In all of those verses, the Father used this exact quote, Be ye holy, for I am holy. You see, He demands holiness from those who wear His name. God and His standard. God Himself, as the quotation shows, is the standard by which His people are to be formed. Note that this also of perfection, as we read in Matthew 5:48, that's talking more about completeness than perfect obedience and sinlessness. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about living a righteous life. And we read that in 1 John 3 and verse 3, where it says, "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, for he is pure." We need to have purity, righteousness. Verse 7 says in the same text, "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteousness." And love. We read that in 1 John chapter 4 and beginning in verse number 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for the love is of God. And everyone who is love is born of God and knows God. But he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And in this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." And so we have this standard of God, and then we have the conduct of righteousness and purity and love that we are to add to our character if we want to be pleasing to him. And then we are to conform our life into God's image. Remember that man has been created in the image and the likeness of God, and it's God's purpose that we should be like him. We read this in Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27. 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse number 4, and we'll read that passage. 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse number 4. "By which we have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the 12th chapter, and verse number 10. Hebrews chapter 12, and verse number 10. "Were they indeed for a few days chastened as it seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness." Again, that is a characteristic of God that we should mirror in our lives. Understand this, ladies and gentlemen, as we begin. God demanded that those that came before him would be holy. He demanded holiness in the character of those who came before him. Now, let me give you an example. When Nadab and Abihu came before God in their priestly garments in the tabernacle, but offered fire which God did not command and was called profane fire in Leviticus 1 through 2, he devoured them with fire from heaven. Why? Because all those that come before God will treat me as holy. You see, you don't treat God as holy if you don't follow his instruction. If one does not follow his instructions, he's not respecting the holiness of God. He's not respecting the person of God. And God will not accept his service, no matter how heartfelt he may give it. If it's not in accordance with God's design, his purpose, and his instruction, it will not be accepted. Why? Because it does not respect his holiness. So therefore, what is the meaning of holiness? The English word is two sets of English words that are used to translate five Greek words. Holy and holiness are Anglo-Saxon of the Old English, and saint, sanctified, and sanctification, which comes from the Latin. Thayer says that the definition of holiness, and that is a Greek lexicon scholar, he says it's set apart for God, to be, as it were, exclusively his, in a moral sense, pure, sinless, and upright, to separate from things that are profane, and to dedicate oneself to God, consecrate, and so render inviolable, and to purify and sanctify themselves. Separation. Holiness first describes what has been separated or set apart from what is common or ordinary. It refers to that which is distinct from that which is unusual. Read Acts 10, 14 and 15. Consecration. Holiness, second, denotes what is dedicated or given to God for his purposes and for his use. It refers to that which serves God's will and does his plan and enacts his instruction. Read 2 Timothy 2:21. Purity. Since God himself is the foundation of man's holiness, and since he himself is absolutely pure and free from sin, Holiness is the final outcome. It means to be clean and pure. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, he was tempted in all ways like as we, yet without sin. He maintained that holiness, and we should strive to maintain that character in our lives also. You see, Leviticus, that we made reference to earlier, God's holiness is the basis of man's holiness. It's stated at least 4 times in Leviticus, and is clearly the theme of that book. It is there we find our best definition and application of our term, holiness. Leviticus, the book, means that which pertains to the Levites, the tribe out of which the priests of Israel were called, a book detailing the work of the priest, hence a handbook for the priest. Priest and sacrifice. The priest was especially called to function in the things pertaining to God and offer sacrifices of sin on behalf of the people. Cleanliness and uncleanness is a book that details the various sacrifices for sin, activities that render man unclean, and the ceremonial means by which man is purified and made clean again when he becomes unclean. And then we see holiness and separation. Holiness also calls for a warning to Israel to keep herself separate from the nations and their abominable worship and their lifestyles that are contrary to God's will. Read Leviticus 20, 22 through 26. Holiness and consecration. Holiness is a selection, calling, and consecration of Israel as a special nation to God through its laws, its priesthood, and its sacrifices to be a special people unto him and to do his will. In the New Testament, the New Testament makes this application of the teachings of Leviticus in the book of Hebrews to the sanctification of all men through the sacrifice of Christ, our high priest. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 through 15, we see the contrast between the ceremonial cleansing of the flesh through the animal sacrifices and the cleansing of the conscience through the redemption that can only be found in Christ Jesus through his sacrifice by his life. The holiness in Hebrews is sanctified by the will of God, Hebrews 10, 9 and 10, by the sacrifice of his Son in Hebrews 9, 13, and by the blood of Christ in Hebrews 13, verse 12, and is perfected evermore through him, according to Hebrews 10 and verse 14. So summary, purified from uncleanness of sin by the blood of Christ through our faith in Christ. Our hearts are sprinkled from an evil conscience, Hebrews 10, 22, and separated from the world of sin to a special and holy nation and a priesthood, according to 1 Peter 2, 5 through 10, and consecrated by sanctification unto the Master's use. Now let us go back in the closing moments here to remember what we read in 14 and 15. But as he who called you is holy, be also holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Ladies and gentlemen, we are to be holy in our conduct. We are to be consecrated, set apart, and sanctified for God's purposes. And we are to do his will in our lives in order to demonstrate that holiness to those who see us. You see, being holy is not sinless perfection. It's never making mistake. It is being like God and putting our lives and our attitudes in comparison to the holiness that we saw in the example of his Son when he was here on this earth. Thank you, and we will continue our discussion on being holy next Lord's Day. Please, if you have time and opportunity, come and worship with us today. Thank you.